This week, we welcome our new listeners from the NSA. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 60. Today is June 14th, 2013. Happy Flag Day. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
Hey, we are at GC Food and Brewery once again, recording on location. And
we shot out of a cannon.
I don't know how we follow that. I really don't. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, you just have to check out the YouTube videos.
We got quite a man on the street interview.
Yes, we do.
I'm pretty sure she'll be on the news. If you don't catch YouTube, I'm pretty sure if you watch your local news, you'll see the lady we're talking
about. Yes. So, this week we're going to talk about a couple of stories that have been in the news, in particular the IRS scandal, which broke since our last episode. So we're going to lead off with that.
You mean the IRS non-scandal, right?
Well, okay. If you say so. So
the equalization.
Right, right, equalization. So, it comes to light that the IRS, certain parties within the IRS were targeting political groups for, what, extra scrutiny, and, you know, my initial reaction to that was, oh, really? Oh, hey, come on over.
All you gotta do is answer a question or two.
Or ask us a question.
You can ask us a question.
Anything
you want. Or we could ask you a question.
We're recording a podcast.
Oh. It's not live. It's not live. You can come closer if you'd like. You're not.
Yeah.
I don't know who's the Midwest Peace Process.
That's us.
These three.
That's the three of us.
What do you represent?
It's a podcast.
So
on the
internet. I know, but what do you represent? I read what them say.
It's supposed to be three opposing political views, and we're supposed to try to come to some agreement. Like, let's admit that all the parties are kind of screwed up.
Right, and three of you work together, and you're going to tell me that
we're not going to.
You don't influence each other, of course.
We do influence each other. That's the point, is to try to see.
So
how are you really representing opposing viewpoints?
We have there's a liberal, a conservative, and an anarchist on the panel. We won't tell you who's who.
Why? Well, that's not fair. I'm a person. I want to know.
Oh.
Liberal, raise your hand.
Well, take a guess. Maybe if you can
you pick us out of the lineup?
Yeah.
I'm not going to judge people by its cover.
It's really fun to do, though. It's fun to judge people.
Do you like Obama?
Yes.
Liberal.
Right.
I was
going
to say, I had you picked out as liberal.
Really?
I had
you
picked
out as liberal. Would you protest abortion?
Would
you protest abortion?
I protest it.
No,
yes.
Okay.
Conservative.
No.
Wait. No.
Guesses. Let's not. You want information from us.
You guys said
guesses.
Let's see what your guesses are.
I already guessed that you were the guess that you were right. I don't know what, because we're talking more. That's why.
That's classic.
Why, but then it's like, you were talking more, so I'm okay, he's a liberal. I kind of like, I would like.
This should be an easy one tonight, really.
I would say that you were the conservative. But then I don't know if that's too, judging by the cover.
Well,
I'm not sure
what?
If everybody knows.
I want to say this. If you are filming, my name is Kim Dennis.
Oh, no, I haven't started, but I will.
The lens is closed.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah, I
absolutely
will.
Absolutely.
My name
would be
is
fabulous.
Kim Jenny.
Hey, everybody, it's Jerry. You know, podcasting is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Some nights we have to beg people to talk to us, and other nights people just walk up and take control of the show. And this was one of those nights. So if you want to see some of these folks in their on-the-street interviews, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/MidwestPeace. And now back to our regular topics of the podcast.
In her view, in Vivian's view, this IRS scandal breaking was, it was not a scandal, it was equalization.
Right.
Finally, somebody's going after those evil Republicans.
Right, that had been going after.
They were going after, even though there was nothing ever broke. Well, it's because the Republicans are so evil that they don't admit it, but the Democrats do. They admit that when they do something. I'm not buying in. I'm not saying, well, it's not that. I'm just saying that's what she said.
Right, right.
And there were no bones about it. She said that.
Right.
And the whole, when I tried to get into, okay, well, how high does it go, it was a duality there of, well, it was low-level people, but the leader is this guy, happened to be Barack Obama. The leader of the party is this guy. But he didn't know anything. But when I worked in government, the mid-level people couldn't do anything. It was the upper-level people who made all the decisions. This was not a logic path. This was,
well,
a feeling path.
Yeah. I think it pointed out to me one of the, like, I try to find these common patterns of political discourse, and one of the common things is when your side gets caught doing something dirty, you say, well, at least they're finally coming up to the tactics of what's always been going on the other side. So it's the usual thing. It's pretty awful.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't even call it we, because I don't identify.
Here's the other side of it. If you complain about any of the worst Republican tactics, they say, we're just taking the playbook of Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, that you Democrats have been using against us for all these years, and now we have your playbook, and it's time for you to pay up, buddy. You know, that's the other side of that. That's the other side of that coin. But the argument is equally silly both ways.
It is equally silly, and it's, people should not be targeted, regardless of what they're
doing. I think we're in a Midwest peace agreement here.
I agree.
Cue the Midwest peace sound.
I don't know. We're going to have to come up with a sound for that. Yeah, okay. So, we're talking about the IRS scandal, right? And
tell us what the IRS scandal is.
And tangentially, I guess we're also talking about, what, the other scandals that have rocked the Obama administration in recent
weeks. But they haven't rocked it. That's what I don't understand.
You can't rock the steady boat, baby.
Here we go.
I don't know what it is. It's not a boat. It's a... Why are these
solid rock?
Why is it just... Oh... All right, they were doing that. Okay.
Well, you got to pick.
Why
is
it that? Why is it that? Why is
you
it
mean
that?
Why isn't there outrage?
Yeah.
All right.
Among who? I mean, who would you expect the outrage to?
Americans.
Okay. Well, I think it's there. I mean, I think there are plenty of people pissed off about this.
People are, but it's not. Hey, we need to investigate this, and we need to do this. I don't think there's much outrage. Okay, look, let's go with that, Rob, because Rob, you're the guy who says, "Oh, there's the outrage." So let's, and he's saying, "No, there isn't." Generally, Rob, you do talk about the right wing outrage, and oh, Jeremy's outrage.
Outrage du jour.
No, the right wing is outraged.
Okay,
but I'm saying the public as a whole and the voting public
is not, and it's
right.
There's no,
but the far right wing is outraged.
Of the coverage of this, it's not like, oh my gosh, they were.
And I got a gem here. I have a gem. I don't know how true this is, but I love it. Perhaps the reason why the American people aren't outraged is because they've been inundated from the time this guy got elected.
Rob, you were right on the verge of something great, and now you're dumbing it down.
From the time this guy started running, All they've heard is outrage about this guy. Oh my God, he's a secret Muslim. Oh my God, he's from Kenya. Okay, that's not holding. I think he smoked cocaine.
I knew you were gonna chicken out.
Oh my God, freak out, Manchurian Candidate, Bilderberg. I mean, pick whatever.
Bilderberg, they're having a meeting right now.
Obama's there having smoking cocaine off of
Hooker
booty.
Is there.
There's been a consistent drumbeat of outrage until now, and now it's like, hey, there's outrage. There's little crying wolf action going on.
So they've reached outrage fatigue? Is that what it is?
We've reached Obama outrage fatigue.
Okay.
God, you're such a weenie.
What's wrong with that?
You chickened out on that one.
What did you want me to say? That was good.
Yeah, what did you want him to say?
What did you think I was going to say that was going to please you?
It felt like... I'm gonna go lefty liberal. And my feelings were that you said no. There isn't outrage, and I thought you were going to say, you know, this is kind of a big deal. Why is there not?
I almost can't figure out what I need to defend. I mean, I've spent 4 years.
Whoa! I don't mean to interrupt, even though I am. But why do you have to defend something? Why not just talk about the facts of the matter?
Well, all right.
Hang on. Because what I started to say before we were interrupted the IRS targeting people. It's like, why is that a surprise? You know, why is that even news? Isn't that what the IRS does? But they target people. Now, the criteria they use for targeting might be subject to debate. But that is what the IRS does. They go after people who don't pay their taxes.
Yes,
right?
But they weren't going after people who didn't pay their taxes.
They were going after people who had applied for nonprofit status or tax-exempt status.
There was no evidence to say this guy didn't pay his taxes, so we need to investigate. It was this guy likes the right side of the political aisle, so we need to investigate.
All right, let's get a little detailed, like our YouTube viewer here. One, I think a big factor in this whole thing was the Supreme Court decision that allowed for these groups that I believe are called 501c4s. Does that sound right? Let's talk about what a 501c4 is. Let's not dumbing it down. I'm teching it up.
It's a little background.
A 501c4 is a tax organization that was created based on recent Supreme Court law, I believe.
Citizens United
Supreme Court case that says we already have laws on the books that you cannot be a political organization and claim tax exempt status. But the Citizens United case allowed for groups to claim their main purpose was social welfare, and as long as they're
or public education
or issues-based groups,
right,
that as long as their main issue, their main motivation wasn't political backing, that they could have tax-exempt status.
Right, so if they spent 49% of their budget on politics, that was fine.
Right, so if they... Yeah, let's get it on. If they spent 49% of their budget backing a particular candidate and 51% backing an issue that particular candidate is known for, that was now tax-exempt status.
Right.
Well, we got to figure out what the heck this is, right?
And in addition to that, they're not required to report who their donors are. They're not required to report, you know, they don't have to file an annual report like a 501c3 would.
Indeed.
So what is that? Citizens United decision... that if you're right-wing and you want to do this, then you don't have to report this. No, it went for both
and that's
anybody.
That's the missing link.
That's,
I would love some listener feedback, and I haven't studied this, but what is the percentage of 501c4s that were created for both sides of those issues?
It shouldn't matter.
Well, it does matter, but only because...
Why does it matter?
It matters because there's been a Democrat in the White House since the decision. So the people who are rallying against him are the Republicans. So if he went and took a census of all the 501c4s, I'm sure most of them are Republicans right now because they're all mobilizing their forces against the Democrats.
Against a force in power.
But, you know, if a Republican wins this next cycle, ask that same question again 4 years from now.
Yes, right. And so And so if that did shift 4 years from now, is that because the president ordered the IRS to go investigate Democrats? Or is that you have these dicey 501c4s that Alito and his buddies on the Supreme Court basically created?
Well, okay.
That wasn't the scandal. The scandal was they said we specifically targeted right-wing or Republican organizations.
And how much did he know and when did he know it? That's what it comes down to. So, you know, this is... It's scandalous in the same way that, you know, Nixon's list of enemies was scandalous, right?
Okay.
It's like, is the Obama administration using their power to go after political enemies?
Right.
And that's the question, right? And it doesn't matter whether he was or not.
Right.
It's the appearance of impropriety.
Right. So,
from the most open administration.
Well, it's not very open. But
you just glossed right over it. Well, it's obviously not very open.
I think
you really promised that.
We can all agree on that. We can all agree.
Why can we agree? He said he was going to be.
Did you believe him when he said it? I didn't believe him.
Why'd you vote for him? Did you? Okay, if I don't believe that, what do I believe that he's saying?
I think some of it, if we want to dive into the transparency thing, I think some of that is...
I want to dive into what you believe and what you don't believe. You just said, I didn't believe what he said.
To me, talk about open transparency is just political talk, kind of like hope and change.
Yeah.
It's political sloganeering that's focus group to meet, to resonate with the most people to win an election. I don't think it's a...
So why, what's better than that? How do we decide then?
I think we're marketed to, like, McDonald's.
I agree that we're marketed to, but if you don't believe anything somebody's saying, what makes you choose?
No, you have to... I attempt to see through the political marketing and see how the people are really different.
What did you see?
Did you not see any substantive difference between McCain and Obama? Or were they pretty much the same? Take all the war hero fluff out of McCain, and take all the uniting America.
War hero.
You kind of throw that stuff out, right? And you try to see through what the real issue, real differences are. You didn't see a difference there?
I see a difference, but I don't see one as this guy's going to save us and this guy's not.
Oh, I don't either.
I think a lot of people did.
A lot of people.
So what did we? What was the belief? If you don't believe that and you don't believe the other stuff that he said, what did you see that was different?
Lesser of two evils. Right? I mean, that's what anybody who votes anymore comes down to.
Is that what you saw? The lesser of two evils?
A little bit of that. And I think there was a little bit of like, okay, here he is on his hope message. Let's just throw that in the trash bin. Here's some change. Let's throw that in the trash bin. And here's some stuff about most transparent government. Well, that's just there to gather up all the people who are mad at W. Bush at that point.
For surveillance, which is now worse than it's ever been.
Yeah.
We're just going to we're not going to talk about that, even though it was a headline
more awesome
show.
Than it's ever been.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, we're bad when they do it, good when we do it. And the Republicans are guilty of the same thing. They're just as guilty.
So I posted the picture to Twitter today, and, you know, it's a survey that was taken in 2006 and then taken again in 2013, asking Democrats and asking Republicans, you know,
go ahead. Finish what you're going to say so the listeners know what it is.
Just asking whether you think the surveillance state is worse now or...
Was surveillance acceptable? It was acceptable and unacceptable. Those were the two categories, and they took it in 2006 and 2013.
Right, and in 2006, the majority of Democrats, like 65%, said it was unacceptable. And in 2013, the exact same percentage of Republicans say it's unacceptable.
Well, I must say, the Republicans were about 5% more genuine because...
Here we go.
The way the numbers flipped, it was about... 5%.
Okay,
still said it was unacceptable. So.
Don't listen to Jeremy. Go to the Twitter feed. You can see the photo
to me
yourself.
I think Republicans are just as disingenuous.
But it's true. If you're worried about the surveillance state, you're not worried about the law of surveillance. You're really worried about who's the eyeball looking at you.
Yeah.
You're worried about who do you think is... If you're a real purist, if you're a real Ron Paul man or something, you really get nervous when your side is doing the same thing, because you know that 4 years from now the whole thing could flip on you and the law is on the book.
Right.
But I think most people think, like, surveillance state, I don't want W watching me. Oh, Obama's going to tickle me with love feathers or something.
The fairy dust will come through the microscope.
Through the view screen.
Right, he's going to look through the camera and go, you're an all right guy.
I've got a link in the show notes to a segment that was on the Daily Show right after the IRS story broke. Did you see it?
Mm.
Oh, it is classic Jon Stewart.
Oh, I did watch that.
It is awesome.
Finally, he was like,
it's called Barack Trek Into Darkness, and I'll close the show with the audio so our listeners can hear it. It's pretty funny.
One other thing, I don't know if you were finished with that.
Yeah. But,
so you brought up Richard Nixon
a couple minutes ago.
Somebody mentioned Richard Nixon and his list of enemies.
Right.
Well, there was a whole thing in the news not too long ago about some recordings that were going on. Somebody's office was bugged and liberals had bugged. Yes.
I didn't hear about that.
And the responsible party said, oh,
is this
yeah.
On Drudge?
I would do it again.
This is on Drudge.
I'll find, you know what? I'll research it. I'll find the links. Right. I'll put them in the reading room.
We'll put a link in the show notes. But yeah, I haven't heard that.
It's just gone away. And they were equating it to Watergate.
Really?
And now it's just, we've had these four things come out. You know, between IRS, NSA, and this other, I forget, there's somewhere.
So why do you think it is? Why do you think nothing's catching fire and we're all not got our pitchforks out and our torches?
I don't know if it's apathy,
we're capable of political outrage? I think we're capable of political outrage.
I think we're capable, but it doesn't do anything. What has the outrage gotten us so far? Besides Obama sitting down with a homeowner and the chief of police to have a beer. What? Any other outrage has done nothing. People are outraged over Benghazi. Not people, but, you know, the right. And people
exactly.
are saying, people are asking some questions. People in the government are asking questions. And what does he do? He appoints Rice as the
National Security Advisor. I don't even know how much I believe it, but I like it. I just love it as a thought. I really do think that since Obama landed on the national stage, it's been one Breitbart controversy after another. That they've always tried to pin him on a whitewater or a look, Michelle Obama's eating a hamburger, or, you know, it's constant stuff. And so when Benghazi comes, we're trying to figure out what's going on. It doesn't feel like a national outrage. It feels like Republicans making a stink. And what else did they make a stink about? Well, he's, you know, where's his birth certificate? Oh, you know, I'm not sure where it is. Is it short form? Where's the long form? I mean, all the silly stuff.
You're saying that's silly stuff, but it's all stuff that when somebody asks a question, the other side, as I'll call it, says, that's dumb. That's a dumb question. We're not going to answer that. You're stupid.
Yeah, that's right. Like the birth certificate, or whether he's a secret Muslim.
Benghazi, okay, fine. I'll agree that some of that is a goofy question. Let's focus on the issues. But some of those same issues, when they're asked, it's just like the surveillance stuff. When you turn the tables and somebody else says, you are affiliated with this radical, well, it's a big deal. But when he's affiliated with a radical, well, come on, you're being ridiculous now. It doesn't carry the same weight.
Is it just that we like this guy as a country?
No, we don't.
We don't. As a country.
No.
What's his popularity rating?
44%?
Is he in the 40s now? I don't know.
He's been in the 40s for 3 years.
Not approval rating, but...
You know...
I don't know what it is. It's a good question.
I don't know what it is.
We're spinning our wheels here.
The problem is that, to me, all this stuff comes up. Legitimate, what could be scandals. And it's just...
Right.
He did some stuff. All right. So, will you promise it? So what? What else?
So let's see.
What else do you have?
Let's see if, as an Obama man, if I can pick my scariest scandal out of all the scandals. I would say Benghazi doesn't count because I think he's got a good. I think he's proven military cred somehow.
Military. Because he killed Bin Laden? Benghazi is a scam because it's probably a CIA op.
Right.
Weapons. It wasn't.
Right. Right.
Well, I think Benghazi doesn't stick because Hillary took the bullet for him.
Right. And not only did she take the bullet, but as she's continuing to take the bullet, it looks like the whole Benghazi scandal is pushed by Republicans to discredit Hillary for 2016 run.
See, I don't even see Hillary as taking the bullet. She didn't get much out of it. I think Susan Rice is taking the bullet.
Well,
now Holder is going to be taking the bullet.
She already did because she wanted to be Secretary of State. She's not now.
She's not. But anyway, go on.
So I would say the biggest scandal I would say would be the IRS thing. It smacks of... that it wouldn't be hard in a political year, 8 months out from the election, when everything is planned to the T like a playbook, it wouldn't be hard to say, hey, we might be able to twist the tables if we can put our thumbs on some of these groups that have real power. Like, because the GOP, nobody's worried about the GOP, the grand old party, whatever. It's all these mobilizing forces of radicals that you really have to worry about if you're a Democrat.
Right.
So... I guess I'm not surprised. The IRS was the worst. I would. It seems plausible to me that. So I mean, I'm sure Obama's not like, hey, you know, it would be awesome. Let's go get the
Cincinnati.
Let's
go after the Tea Party.
But could it be that the David Axelrod and the David Plotz? It's not like those guys are any dummies about how things work,
right?
You know, I mean, I think is it beyond them to go get the guys in the Cincinnati office to.
Okay, so is there anything that should come out of that? I mean, the story when the story broke, it was they were targeting people in an election year, and then it was it was at the beginning of the election year, and then it was actually back in 2010 they started doing this.
Right.
So should it just be? Yeah, they did it, and or should it
be? The other dicey thing is about how they came clean on the Friday news. Day when nobody paid. But they came clean. They said, hey, look, we did this thing.
They didn't.
So you only come clean on something like that.
It was a planted question.
Right, whatever it is.
Like a prison.
Right.
I mean, how?
But they came. The other thing that feeds the conspiracy is they came clean in a way that was so. It was in a scripted manner, and the only way you do that is if you think you're going to get caught, right? If you think the hammer's coming, you get out in front of it.
Get caught doing what? We've heard it's not a violation.
I'm just saying, out of all the scandals, if we put Barack Obama not American on one side, and you put something on the other side, I would say the IRS scandal would be your biggest one.
And if you say it's something that somebody has to come clean about because they were going to get caught, to me that says there's wrongdoing.
It sounds like I would, if there is wrongdoing, that's the scandal I would most guess about.
I said if there's wrong. Are they coming clean on something or not?
I don't think we know yet.
Jeez, this is...
Do you know for sure? Do you know?
No. I don't know.
I'm saying that out of the fishy signs, I mean, Glenn Beck's got a chalkboard. He's got it for 7 years now.
Good for Glenn Beck.
That talks about all kinds of, the sun was in the clouds and the moon of Zodiac, and that means Obama talked to the Arabs. You know, there's all kinds of silliness. This one, I think, signs point to possible troubles.
That's what I'll say.
The magic eight ball has spoken.
Point impossible.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to salute the flag. So stay with us.
Not a year.
Spend a little bit talking about the flag because it is Flag Day.
Woo! Woo! I don't own one, and I looked at them, but I didn't buy one because it didn't have all the features I wanted.
What, like all 50 stars?
It only had 49.
Hawaii. Only had 12 stripes.
No, it only had 50. I wanted Puerto Rico on there, damn it.
It's funny we talk about Flag Day. Let me go ahead and interrupt.
Go ahead.
Because we were talking about baseball during the break, and I have a good buddy that says you shouldn't look at records and standings and any of that until Flag Day. Flag Day is his marker for when you are in the baseball season, when records start to matter.
So, interesting benchmark.
Flag Day. Let's go Cardinals.
All right, go Cards. So, I don't pledge allegiance to the flag anymore. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I don't, because I don't really have the opportunity. In grade school we did it.
Right. Yeah,
will you bust one out right now for the podcast?
I pledge allegiance to the flag. Well, wait a minute, I'm not standing up. No, I won't. I won't.
For moral reasons, or is it because you can't remember the words?
For many reasons. No, I remember the words.
Wait a minute.
You came over here to say have a good weekend. Can you?
I did. I cannot.
I don't know who you. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Jerry.
Jerry, this is Rob.
Your I thought it was going to be a J. Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
Great shirt, even though they lost tonight. Yeah. That's right. You got some Marlins.
It's a great record, though.
Can you answer one question? You're a baseball fan. You go downtown to the baseball game.
Sometimes.
Well, let's see those fingernails again. That was pretty cool.
Oh, they're pretty chipped off and negative.
They got a little Cardinal spirit going.
What is it?
Black and red. Hey. They're stickers.
Oh.
That's okay.
Let's see.
Nope, done.
All right, well,
do you feel safe when you go to the Cardinal game? Downtown St. Louis? Yeah?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. You got my answer from Tiffany. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Why did you come over here? Because you guys came over to me. Thank you. Because you came over to me, and I've been in your presence, and I feel that it's appropriate for me to say goodnight to you.
That's
and
nice.
Thank you. I have your information down.
Right.
I will be looking forward to seeing Vivian on Monday.
She will be up on YouTube on Monday.
On Monday? Okay, yeah.
Like us on Facebook.
Friday, I'll say that.
Well, yeah, we agree.
Find us on Facebook.
So not my agenda. I will, for sure. Friday night. I mean, I came to fill this up and have a drink.
Oh, what'd you get? What did you fill with?
This is the box.
Brother Benedict.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Sure. Cheers. Happy Friday.
I'm an IPA, yep. Man. I'll tell you.
You should drink those from now on.
No doubt.
They're whole blueberries. I highly recommend frozen blueberry waffles from Trader Joe's.
Bring us a waffle and a business card.
No, not at all.
No.
I'm going to my car and going home.
You don't honor any requests. This has been very,
very frustrating.
I am Tiffany.
I am Tiffany. That's the best line from the night.
Very roar.
I am Tiffany.
Turned me down so much, I feel like it's a date.
That's okay. That was a great date, right? You guys have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Happy Father's Day. Tiffany Fathers.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Go Cardinals. Bye now.
Yes.
This is the most bizarre night.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So So, I don't pledge allegiance to the flag. So sue me.
Well, what? When did you decide that? You were in the.
I was.
Former Marine? I guess there was some pledging.
Yeah, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but yes, I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps. I was actually on the color guard when I was in the Marines, so...
You were, like, right next to the
flag. Part of my job was to carry the flag around with armed guards on either side of me. So, yeah. How do you go from that to where I am now? Obviously, as an anarchist, there are a lot of things the government does that I don't agree with. Well, that has led me to a lessened respect for the flag and what it stands for today versus, say, 20 years ago when I was still marching up and down the square.
Do you think it was you that changed more or the country that was changing more?
No, it's me. I think I just, you know, the third eye has opened and I'm, you know, become disillusioned with the whole rah-rah, salute the flag, pledge allegiance.
Yeah, it's tough because
I mean, philosophically, I cannot pledge allegiance to anything anymore. You know?
Right, right.
Like, one of my favorite Jefferson quotes is, I've sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against any form of tyranny over the mind of man. That's what I pledge allegiance to now. So, you know, it's much more intellectual than just
what?
Covering your heart and repeating that thing you learned in third grade or whatever that you don't even really understand.
Yeah, it's tough because I believe in community, but how far does that extend?
Because, I mean, we teach kids in this country today to say the pledge before they even know what indivisible means. Most of them say invisible because they don't know that word. They don't know what it means.
Right.
So, you know, to me that's just, it's propaganda.
Well, sure. I agree with that.
So, I'm just saying no to the propaganda. And, you know, we have taught our kids how to say it, but only because I don't want them to feel embarrassed if they're in a group of other kids who are saying it and they don't know the words.
Right.
But at some point, I will sit them down and say, hey, look, there are some things about this country that you should not be proud of. So if you choose not to pledge allegiance to it, that is perfectly acceptable.
Good man.
But it'll be their choice. And I would encourage all of our listeners to do the same with their kids.
Because
it's not something that just has to happen, right? You don't have to pledge allegiance to your flag, to your country, to, you know, when you see things that are wrong, when you see things that your country is doing that you don't agree with, you don't have to pledge allegiance to that.
Right.
No, I agree.
I mean, dissent is the most patriotic thing, right?
I think the one of the most interesting things is the convergence of patriotism and religious conservatism.
Right.
Because really, a Christian message would say you should never pledge allegiance to some icon.
Right.
You're really pledging, almost like a faith to some kind of icon construct that's a... And I think there was some stuff in the Bible, let me go ahead and look, about idols, you know, that you're almost believing in something that's not really, it's either not really there or it's a false idol. Never occurs to a evangelical Christian who just wants...
Some of my beliefs here that religion is very similar.
Yeah.
You have children, you go to a service... You're in this place where there are pictures or whatever else hanging up, statues, and they're reciting things, and they have no idea.
Right, sure.
You're going to tell me a child knows what apostolic means?
Right.
No.
Right, right. And that's a tough one. It's a tough one. Like, we go to church and we, you know, do the Our Father and we go through the routine, but My kid's five. She has no idea what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
Why would she ever understand it in any reasonable way?
Yeah, so I look back on you know, since we're talking about religion, I look back on, you know, my upbringing. I grew up in a Lutheran church. So I learned all, you know, it's Catholic life. I learned all that stuff, you know. On the one hand, it comforts me that I can go into a church even today, and I still remember that stuff because
right.
I learned it at such a young age.
Right,
you know, it's
right.
like part of my DNA.
Right.
But then I also, on the other hand, wonder, is that strengthening my faith, or is that just me, you know, responding in a Pavlovian way
right.
to what I was conditioned to do?
I agree, and I also like the fact that I have that in my
toolkit.
Tools kit, yes. That I know these prayers, and I know this, and if I go here, I can fit in and be. But is it? There's something very. It's not genuine
right.
in a lot of cases.
Right. Well, right, and I think what I think a devout Christian would tell you, which I probably wish I was, but I'm not, is it's just all about how much you put into it. You know, if you're mouthing the words and you're going through the motions to feel part of a group, you're just going to feel like you're mouthing the words.
Well,
but if you're diving deep, you know, if you're saying pledge of allegiance, if you pledge allegiance to the flag as a 23-year-old man, you know, you might be saying that if something happens to this country, I'm going to be first on the D-Day line, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it could mean something, or it could just mean like, oh, look at me, it's Flag Day, and I'll just go say these words that make me feel like I'm
part
in
of
a
this group.
Right,
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just whatever you put into it.
Well, and, you know, from an anarchist perspective, we talk about statism as a religion.
Right.
That it is, as you know, as much a religion as any denomination, Christianity or whatever. It has its rituals.
The icons.
It has its sacraments. It has, you know,
holidays.
Right.
Icons.
Exactly. Election Day is like, you know, the high holy day of statism.
Right.
When everyone goes through the sacrament of the voting booth. And, you know, it's seriously.
Fantastic.
That's the way we look at it. None of it means anything. It's all BS. And
right. You're. Yeah.
But I'm with you in that I've become. I question things more. What I pledge allegiance to, and what I accept, as far as where I work, we had this. There's a big wellness push now, and there was something that you had to sign up for it, and it said, if you do this is completely voluntary. However, if you don't do this, there will be a
right.
monthly charge of blah, blah, blah,
right,
dollars.
Deducted from your paycheck.
Yes. So yeah. It wasn't voluntary. And I printed that out, and I highlighted those words, and I put it on my bulletin board. And I brought it up to my manager, and he laughed about it and did nothing else. And
very well.
It was a genuine concern to me, because they're saying this is voluntary,
yeah.
but there's a penalty if you don't do it.
Well, it's kind of like paying taxes, right?
Yes, that's exactly.
That's what the IRS will tell you, that it's all voluntary.
So, and as I was going through, I put off accepting these terms and conditions for, I want to say it was about a week that I, because I didn't want to do it, because
right.
I didn't accept those terms.
Right.
This, to me, is a similar thing. You saying pledge allegiance. I'm accepting the terms of
yeah.
this country, and they're, like you said, a lot of things. I'll bring up what Barack Obama recently said when this NSA scandal broke. I'm pointing at Rob, and he's pointing back at me and Jess. He said, well, you know, there are some things we might have to, some inconveniences, or some things we might have to think about what we want to give up, and paraphrasing. And then this is the part that really bothered me. He said, we need to make some choices as a society about security and privacy. We aren't making those choices as a society. Those choices are being forced on us. And that bothers me a lot. And for him to take the words and say, we as a society, well, no, it's not that way.
How are we doing over here?
We're doing well. How are you?
Doing well.
Look, Yes, yeah, I'm not trying to. When you do go away somewhere, I need a brand new glass of water.
It is done.
Someone else used that glass of water.
Oh, so we will get you a new one.
Ooh.
That's fun. That's so fun.
Yeah,
but don't.
It's almost like when you go to a bar and say you drink someone else.
Well, it was one of our guests here that was speaking to us.
We like they don't just take that water.
Yeah.
Right, they just took it and drank it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Tried to take Rob's beer first, but he
I was like a
you're
rabid
like,
animal.
No.
I was like a raccoon.
All right, I'll be back with another water.
I get.
So was this the same speech where he was talking about how you need to ignore the people who tell you that tyranny is right around the corner?
See, that speech,
don't get
that
into
speech,
that. It's getting late at night.
See, there Rob goes. Pay no attention to that ridiculous thing that was said. That's not a big deal. That was a precursor to all this breaking.
Right. Well, and it's funny that he made that speech like a couple of days right before the IRS story broke.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, he could have made it a couple of days before any scandal broke.
Right.
Because there's a scandal every week.
What? And you say that that's what we're talking about, or I'm talking about. You dismiss this stuff.
I dismiss it
like it's nothing.
I agree with
something.
All right, let's go back to your good point. It's true about we as a society.
Which good point? Because I made a lot of good points.
You made like. Count them on one finger. That we as a society aren't really deciding these things, and I do wonder what the societal input is. And it's kind of funny. It's very organic and weird if you believe in it, which is we're talking about belief. You know, like I had this realization. I don't know why it just came to me that these Supreme Court justices. When they do their interviews, it's a very theatrical kind of performance. They know what to say about faithfulness to Constitution and law. But you don't think they're influenced by political winds and conversations in the country? Of course they are.
Oh yeah, they're human.
You know, and they might be the ones that are determining who's on the FISA court or who's determining, you know, what is acceptable and what is not. And maybe by Obama saying we need to go discuss these things, maybe all he's saying is a very loose link of let's discuss these things, let's have a public debate, let's have some firestorms, let's have some controversies, and maybe that's what's going to drive the judges to determine the laws that's going to prohibit this stuff.
You really believe all that stuff you just said?
I
don't think that meant it.
That's like Eddie Murphy in The Golden Child when he's leaping through the little, you know,
now
the little pillars.
What are we doing?
It's a very tenuous link, but it's a hopeful link.
No, it's not. It's not hopeful.
It's very hopeful. Well, it's not a true link. It's a hopeful link that public opinion can drive where the country goes, where the government goes.
So, yeah, I think we're way past that.
Yeah.
So who do you think the government
I understand
is?
You I mean, still having hope in that, but I think we're way past that.
So who do you think is making these decisions in the government? The high-powered rich folk and high-powered positions that are...
It's not us.
Yeah, I
mean, maybe it is us. Maybe it's just guys like us with jobs.
I think I posted the picture to our Twitter account several weeks ago about, I don't know, it was one of those e-cards, you know, and it's two guys talking to each other and they're saying, and we'll let them choose a leader every 4 years to make them think that, you know, they have some power in the, you know. I think that's where we're at. I think there's no difference anymore between the two major parties, so, you know.
I think there's a dark table of incredibly powerful people that are above elections and political parties that are pulling strings.
I am very reluctant to buy into that conspiracy theory that, you know.
What do you think?
The Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission and, you know, all that. I think...
But it's not voting.
So you say it's not voting. So what is driving it? Is it just bureaucrats preserving their jobs? Is there some guy at the NSA that wants a better position, so he's just going to do what the NSA does?
I think there's a revolving door between corporate industry and government. So there's a lot of people that just keep going back and forth between those two. That's created this incestuous relationship where, you know, the corporations can rely on their cronies in government to make things easy for them. And when they get out of government, they know they have a cushy job waiting for them on the board of directors of some big corporation. That just goes back and forth and back and forth. So, I mean,
so we've
become a corporatocracy, at, you know, at some level as a result of that.
Some would say that's the natural conclusion of a free market system.
Okay, but then you have to talk about the gun in the room, right?
Where's the gun?
Well, the gun is the government. The government has the gun. So when you're the CEO of Goldman Sachs and you become the Secretary of the Treasury, now suddenly you have the gun in your hand,
right?
Right. Whereas as the CEO of Goldman Sachs, you didn't have a gun in your hand,
right?
So that's the problem with government in a nutshell. It's the gun in the room. You can't have a conversation about anything without pretending the gun isn't in the room.
Right, because when they send me my little W-2 in the mail, there's an implied little pistol there that says, you got a lot of steps to go, but if you fail to do steps long enough, you're going to show up with a...
Because, like I said in one of our very first podcasts, as George Washington put it, government is not eloquence, it is force. That is all government does. It's a hammer. And when you have all you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Just quite a leap to jump from there to no government.
Well, maybe if there were some half step in between, but there isn't. Because then you're right. Then you're left asking who watches the watchers.
I feel like we're just what we think we are.
You can try to craft a system that, you know, isn't totalitarian in nature by putting all sorts of checks and balances in place. But sooner or later, human beings have to be in charge of watching other human beings.
Right.
And sometimes those human beings are going to be corrupt. So the ones they're watching are going to be corrupt.
Sad note at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Sorry to bring everybody down. Couple stories in the reading room that I wanted to highlight for our listeners. We predicted this in the last episode. Bill regulating 3D printed guns announced in New York City.
Yeah, Magic 8 Ball podcast.
Yeah, so that didn't take long, right? We were thinking that would be months down the road, but here it is. What else?
Rob brought up UFOs last time, so I've tried to keep an eye out for UFOs, and I've found at least 3 articles since then.
That must mean there's a lot of UFOs out there.
One of our listeners, a while back, when we were talking about drones, had provided a link to a story asking about privacy concerns related to, you know, individuals owning drones. So I got a link in here about Seattle man hovers drone over family's house. So that was kind of exactly the situation that, you know, he was predicting.
So if you want to see the future, tune into the podcast.
Yes, that's what we do here. We manufacture the future.
Here's one I want to point out. The
1975
tornado outbreak was blamed on global cooling.
Okay.
Back and forth on this stuff, global warming and climate change, and other people who say, yeah, but look at this. It's just another money grab.
there's a link here to a disturbing video on YouTube of California police kicking down the door of some family's home and tasing the residents.
Wow.
So I would encourage everybody to watch that. The title here is California Police State Brutality in Small Town Cotati. So, that's probably enough for now. You guys got anything else? This has been a crazy, crazy night.
Really, you know, this started out with Jerry bringing up the flag and pledging allegiance. And then, Rob, get ready.
I'm ready. I'm feeling it.
I never read the article, but it seemed kind of goofy to me. But on Drudge, I saw a headline that on HGTV for a decorating idea, they recommended using the flag as a tablecloth. Wow, that's pretty little.
Bunch of commies over there at HGTV. Oh, all right, we got our eye on you, HGTV. All right. I want to thank our listeners. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Check out our website. Leave us a comment. We love your feedback. I want to thank GC Food and Brewery for hosting us once again, and we will see you next time.
And thanks to Vivian, Kim, and Nicole.
Yes.
Good night.
Bye now. Why bother? Why bother fighting O'Reilly? It doesn't matter. It doesn't even make sense to argue with them because facts don't matter to that side. In their paranoid fever dreams, the State Department and the CIA changing talking points is irrefutable evidence Obama left people to die so that he could swing Ohio, despite there being no shred of evidence to validate their full-blown right-wing persecution victimization complex.
The Internal Revenue Service admitted today that some of its employees targeted conservative political groups for extra scrutiny in violation of its own policy and despite its earlier denials.
Mother son of a bitch! No, mother What did you do?
In the spring of 2010, just as the Tea Party movement was gaining steam, a group of IRS specialists were told to focus on organizations with, quote, political-sounding names seeking tax-exempt status.
Political-sounding names, that could be anybody. Political-sounding names, that's not right wing. It could be Hippies for Change or Occupy Ralph Nader. I mean, it's not necessarily just right wing.
Groups with names like We the People or Take Back the Country.
Okay, that's right, Wayne.
Specialists were told to be on the lookout for Tea Party applications, along with groups whose mission was to educate about the Constitution.
Oh, okay, all right. In their defense, there is a good reason why people using the IRS to crack down on political enemies would not want Americans educated about the Constitution. And while the tax-exempt status that all political groups get is kind of bull, it's bull that should at least be granted fairly and equitably, spread around evenly, if you will. So unlike much of the Benghazi inquiry, this seems like a genuine scandal. So explanation, please, let's say, from the individual who oversees tax-exempt organizations for the IRS.
They used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
Oh, okay, thank you. I appreciate... Wait a minute! I didn't realize apologies were sufficient in IRS-related issues. Hold on 1 minute. I bet, if I'm not mistaken, that right now, Wesley Snipes feels like a real ass. Wait, all I had to say was, I'm sorry. Instead of always bet on black, I should have just said, I'm sorry. And since we're talking about this, you know how on my taxes I put down that I have a farm? Actually, I had a salad. so sorry. But don't worry, it gets funnier.
I said that about a quarter of the cases that were selected for full development had either Tea Party or Patriot in their name.
Okay. Sorry, thank you for the clarification, but that would be a quarter of the 300 then. So we're talking 75 or so?
That's correct. Is that a quarter?
That's correct. That's
thank
correct.
You. I'm not good at math.
That's a good one! Lady who works at the place that calculates people's taxes. Well, congratulations, President Barack Obama. Conspiracy theorists, who generally can survive in anaerobic environments, have just had an algae bloom dropped on their heads, thus removing the last arrow in your pro-governance quiver. Skepticism about your opponents. Gun control. Why can't we have background checks?
I believe it would put us inexorably on the path to a national gun registry.
Oh, right. A national gun registry. The government's going to overreach, and there's going to be a registry, and the government's even capable of that kind of overreach, and they're going to take your guns away from you.
The Internal Revenue Service admitted today that some of its employees targeted conservative political groups.
Motherfuckers! This has, in one seismic moment, shifted the burden of proof from the tinfoil beheaded to the government. The VA claims backlog and the bounced checks foreclosure cluster had already given government competence fetishists fits. government competence fetishist fits. And now this. In a few short weeks, you've managed to show that when the government wants to do good things, your managerial competence falls somewhere between David Brent and a cat chasing a laser pointer. But when government wants to flex its more malevolent muscles, you're f***ing Iron Man! You know what? I'm sorry. I'm overreacting. I still believe, I really do, that good government has the power to improve people's lives, and that the people have the power to restrain its excesses. I forget that sometimes, and I'm sorry. It's going to be okay, and our form of government is bigger than just these issues. This storm will pass. It's just, really? Right now?
All right, we're just getting this into the Situation Room, calling it a, quote, massive and unprecedented intrusion. The Associated Press now saying the Justice Department secretly obtained 2 months of phone records of its reporters and editors.
Mother. We'll be right back.